Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber now sitting alongside the first three-time NBA slam dunk champion and 5'9". You're my height. I could have dunked. I could have been a dunker. Nate Robinson, who joined us at the Final Four a few months ago, and now he's back with us in studio. How you doing, man?
Man, good, man. Bless.
I remember I asked you back then, like, why in the heck are you trying to play football? You're actually playing football. You're playing in the AFFL,
yes,
which is the Flag Football League. You'll play Sunday,
Sunday.
The amateurs play on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You'll play Sunday. How's that going for you, man?
Man, it's fun, honestly. Just to kind of go back in time, kind of like back to the future. I get to go back and play the game that I first fell in love with. So
yeah,
for me, it's just like being a kid all over again, playing in the park.
Yeah. Do you feel old with all those kids?
Not yet, but it's still funny because they're young, right? It's funny. Yeah, well, they're younger than us for sure. But
yeah,
like, you know, the older guys, like I get to play with Mike Vick, who I got to watch as a kid growing up. I get to play. Danny Werfel was on my team. Mm-hmm. Heisman trophy.
Yep.
Exactly. We got Jason Avant. So we got some guys, you know, throw some pieces in there that can really go. So I'm excited to just be a part of the crew.
What's the hardest part about that flag football at 30?
Just grabbing the flag.
What, you're 35?
Just grabbing the flag.
You're 35, right?
35, yeah.
Yeah,
the flag, like, flag grabbing is really harder than what
people
think.
Like, you want to go stick somebody, right?
A couple times I got flagged for tackling. I got a couple of penalties for tackling, so I kind of got to get used to the rules.
Man, you got a lot of stuff going on. I know you and your brother have a couple companies. One is out on the East Coast. You live out in Seattle. But you're also with the Big Three.
Yes.
That starts when?
June 23rd.
That's right around the corner. Well,
yeah, so I'll be playing football this week and then next week playing basketball and getting ready for the, you know, Big Three.
And you're like living this like best life, like this kid life still.
No, listen, it's like the coolest thing ever. Like, God has blessed me so much and I'm very thankful that when I still get to play some of the games that I grew up loving as a kid. You know, my people always say, you know, it's not a job when you're having fun, when it's something that you love. So
yeah,
something I love doing is just playing and hooping. Like, I just got done playing, you know, at West 4th just before I came in here just to hoop with some regular people.
Did you win?
And it's fun. Yeah, I lost my first two games and then won three in a row.
What happened?
Just be playing outside, other kids, you know. Some people know how to play basketball, some don't.
You were a pro, man. You were an NBA. How you lose these kids
on West
4th? Man,
I just don't shoot the ball the whole time, man. It's not, you know, you got to play team ball. But it's just fun being out there playing, you know. The people really get to be a part of who you are.
Yeah,
you know,
nah,
get to share the court. Some people never get to see you play, and then they just pull up and just playing the game is pretty cool.
That's cool. That's New York.
Yeah. Like,
that's it feels old school New York, but it's still New York. Talking to Nate Robinson here. Nate, you watched the series last night. You watched it finish last night. The Toronto Raptors and Kawhi and the job that Usai Ujiri did to craft that team. Do you wish Kawhi would stay?
I hope he does. I think it'll be good for the league if he stays. Because one, I mean, I know everybody in Toronto fans, like,
oh, they're going,
they're
insane.
Going, yeah, they're going bonkers right now. Like, the city, like, this might be the most people in a parade in history. This is gonna set Guinness Book of World
Records. It's gonna be the whole country,
and man,
baby,
everybody's
man,
gonna be out there. But I mean, I really hope he stays, because then, you know, it's showing that, you know, the league again is just not overpowered by the West.
Yeah,
you know, so. I mean, good thing that, you know, Curry was kind of banged up. A lot of guys were banged up on him, but there's no excuse. You just give your all, and, you know, the better team won this year.
Yeah, it's funny because when I think about this, I feel, like I said this earlier in the series, I felt cheated. This is before we knew Kevin Durant was going to even try to come back and play when he came back in game five. But around game two, I was like, man, I feel cheated. Right? Kawhi is a beast. He's top three player in the NBA. KD's a beast, but he's sitting on the sidelines. So I'm being robbed.
It does suck.
Of this opportunity to see the two greats go against each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sucked that they couldn't, you know, get out there and play against each other. I know KD wanted to be out there. He actually showed that, mm-hmm. went out and got and re-injured himself. But
do you fault him for that, by the way?
It's just like it's just the love of the game that you have. Like, if, like you know, like when you're young, your dad used to tell you, "Man, you ain't hurt if it ain't broke. Yeah, you know, get back out there.
You hurt, you injured."
So you know, so it's like one of those gray areas. Like you want to play, but you know you're hurt. But if you know you can play, like. Like, he wasn't even 100%, and no. He had 11 points in 12 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, that's tough.
A lot of people are trying to, I guess, find someone to blame. It's almost unfair because...
I mean, at the end of the day, you have... It's you that's going out there. So
right? It's you like, make like, the decision.
Exactly. You see what Kawhi did. Kawhi sat out, didn't play, didn't mm-hmm. like sat out, waited, now look, NBA champion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it tells us something about your body. Like, Kawhi knew he couldn't play. Maybe KD probably shouldn't have played.
Probably. Right? I mean... You love a game and you want to win another championship, you'll do anything to win.
Yeah.
And he showed it. He sacrificed himself to really go out there, and they end up winning that game. They needed his points that game, and I thought they were going to get it done one more time. And for Oracle, I really wanted them to win that game just yeah. so I can go back. And then if they won it in Toronto, Toronto wins in Toronto,
yep.
so be it. And then it's but like do it better there. For them.
Yeah.
Then it's better for them. But they, you know, they dethroned the Kings, and now Toronto's sitting at the top.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park going crazy right now.
There are probably people still sitting out
it's
there.
It's going crazy, so yeah. it's fun. Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, the Raptors won. Now you can shake it up, and now, you know, the draft is going to mean it's going to be even like
right.
bigger now.
Right.
It's highlighted. Now you got to add pieces to your team
so much
to get.
Well, everybody's catching up, right? It used to be the way the Golden State Warriors played with all this running around and back screens and everything else. It was like, man, how do we defend these guys? Now teams are figuring out how to defend them. Like, we saw this, and we saw
well,
that.
Well, everybody hurt. I can't say they Toronto would do a good job playing defense. They did a great job of boxing one and Steph Curry last night. I'll give him that.
That's a good point.
Curry was frustrated. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't get the shots that he wanted. He had to force shots. Like, that's tough for him. You put him in a tough situation, and then you make other guys on the team beat you with the outside shot, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, the better team won. Coach knew what he was doing. He did a great job. Yeah. Go out boxing one. We take Curry away, we win the game.
Yeah.
And they did
and
that.
And they did, because nobody else is going to score, right. except for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, who had 30, and he had to go out the game.
With a knee injury. Now, I only bring it up because you tore your ACL.
Yes.
Right? Late in your career.
Yep.
And first of all, how hard is this to come back from for basketball play? I've seen it hundreds of times for NBA
play.
You
definitely got to get over the whole mental thing of you being hurt and, you know, like, dang, like, why me? Because I asked myself that many times, watched the play over and over, like, what can I change, you know, what can I have done differently?
But yeah.
at this
How
point.
How did you do yours?
So I did mine. I was going for a block on Ramon Sessions. And when he was coming towards me, and I was backpedaling, well, I was kind of running sideways. And then when I jumped backwards to block him, but his momentum hit my legs forward. And then I kind of undercutted myself, and my legs were in the air.
Oh,
and then
gotcha.
My knee snapped. It just snapped. So it wasn't even like a snap.
So you didn't even hit the ground.
So I tore mine by just like my knee just whipping the wrong way. I just tore my – and I felt it too. It tore right off.
Oh.
So then I played a couple possessions. I thought it was nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, but then I ran, and then I tried to cut, and I failed because it was nothing there.
Yeah.
So I knew something was up.
Yeah, we're talking to Nate Robinson here. We saw Klay do that, right? When you could see it when they
yeah,
slowed
all his
it
weight.
Down,
all his
weight came down and the inside capsule just yep. opened up. You're like, all right, something tore right there. And then he walked back out
and shot his free
throws.
Ran down court to you. He kind of wanted to play, but your adrenaline was rushing. But
yeah.
once you settle down, then kind of the swelling gets back, and then you just.
How hard is that to recover from? Like, how soon do we think until Klay Thompson
is
himself
today.
Again?
He'll probably get surgery today. That's what I did when I tore mine. I got surgery the very next day. Just to start the process, and then you just got to hit rehab.
Yeah.
So what I did, I bought a bike, and I just
started riding.
Not right away, but once I got to a point where my knee can bend and start doing stuff, I started riding the bike. I started riding the rehab 10 miles a day. So I just rode the bike every day. Then I went to rehab, and I busted my butt doing rehab. You know, ride my bike home, do all my stuff at home. I just really got into it because I saw Adrian Peterson's workout. I watched his on YouTube, and I watched it over
yeah,
and over.
Yeah, but AP was a freak of nature.
And he came back and rushed for 2,000 yards. Right. So I was like, if he can do it, I definitely can come back. I mean, he came back like 6-7 months. So I came back like 7 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, strong. So Klay's going to be okay.
Yeah, he's going to be strong. I mean, when you got a jump shot, Ace, you don't really, you know.
KD's a different story. Now, there's a lot of moving parts that are going to happen this offseason. We know it because all the free agents,
yeah.
right? He's likely going to opt out. But if you're the Knicks, because that's where everybody's speculating that KD's going to go. If you're the Knicks, do you really want to spend a max contract for a guy to chill for a year? I mean, I know the emotional lift.
Well, it depends. It's like this. If I might wait and sign a KD later if that opportunity is there. I'm going to see how Barrett's going to do and get some guys around Barrett and see how they can maneuver. They got Lonzo Trier, who I love, mm-hmm. on the Knicks, who can play. They got some pieces they can go back and try to sign DeAndre Jordan to get that defensive presence and the good veteran leadership. You get a guy like that on the team. I think that they can kind of create with some ingredients and make something.
Yeah, make it interesting.
Exactly.
Make it interesting.
And then you may, surprisingly, somebody wants to. Like, who doesn't want to play in New York, though? That's what I'm saying. Like,
is that still that way?
I don't know. I loved it.
Right, I was going to say, when you were a Knick, you were here for 5 years, right?
Yeah, 5 years. Now, it was like one of the best 5 years of my life. Like, playing in the Garden every day, like the Mecca. Like, please. I loved it. I strive for that every day. I would come to work ready to go every day. I couldn't wait for them to call my name.
Yeah, but part of that is just your attitude. That you were probably that way everywhere
but
you went.
The New York, especially, they kind of created this monster in me.
Do you think so? The dynasty, we talk about it. It feels like it's done. They got a lot to do. Iggy's getting old. Andre Iguodala's getting old. Draymond's gonna want a max. They might trade. I mean, who knows? KD's not playing at all next year. Is this thing done out in Golden State?
No, but that's why you have a team. Everybody can contribute. You just got to figure out how to give. I mean, they know how to win. That's the thing. They have the blueprint of how to win. They know their things, the strength is in numbers. They're going to keep shooting and keep that style of play is going to be forever. They just have to find players that fit that system.
Yeah. That's hard to do sometimes.
It is, but you just got to go out there.
Because you got to be able to knock it down.
Go out there and find some shooters that can play. People want to play in Golden State.
I mean, you make that sound like it's easy.
it's not really easy, but they just got to find some players. Like, man, they found Clay. They found Curry.
That's true.
Like, come on, man. Draymond Green. Those are draftees. Those are guys that they actually drafted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
no, you're right.
Exactly.
Nate Robinson's joining us here. A couple of things before we let you go. Anthony Davis, this thing is getting weird. It's been weird for a while.
They make it a movie, man. They make it a movie. Seriously. They make it that way purposely.
Doesn't it feel like that?
It's like a soap opera. What's next?
And because he's with Clutch Sports Management, which is LeBron's age, I mean, it almost feels like it's being set up to be this movie. Like, AD is going to join LeBron in LA.
And they're going to win a championship.
And they're going to win a championship.
Hey, man.
Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, like you said, in the West, you gotta grind and get wins out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, every team, like, from every
in
team,
the West,
Portland. Yeah, in the West. You go to the West, and, like, you know, you over there. I mean, you've been in the West. You ain't been making this. You see, but, you know, going to the Lakers, I mean, it's like, the Clippers ain't no joke. You know, you got a lot of teams. Dame Lillard, Portland ain't no joke. It ain't no walk in the park.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just gotta be ready to play. I mean, I think they're gonna make it happen.
So, last question before I let you go. So the Toronto Raptors, I mean, I think they're going to break up, and I think Masai Ujiri may even leave. If somebody's offering you $10 million to be the GM, I mean, you got to go be a GM for $10 million, right? Kawhi's likely not going to stay.
After the championship, he's leaving? He's going to leave y'all? Well, hey,
you
it
heard
wouldn't
me.
Be bad. You win on the way out. Like, all right, I gave y'all one. Y'all probably not never win one again.
Yeah, but still,
if he goes back, they'll most likely be winners out the East.
Yeah, if he's back, but I don't think he's gonna be back.
Where he
Who
go?
Could be the favorite?
Where is
right
he
now?
Gonna go? Where would Kawhi want to go?
Clippers. He wants to go back home.
He want to play in. Is that bad? He want to play in LA. And you just won a championship in Toronto. What? All you gotta do is play your whole NBA season.
You didn't play in Toronto at all.
Nah, but if Toronto's one of the best places to play in the NBA, trust me.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
So how does that become? I mean, I can't think of Toronto as a destination, even though it probably is.
I don't know.
Not
maybe,
enough people
maybe the
know.
Only thing he's really tripping about is probably taxes. Other than that, but I mean, you know, I know. I'm sure that billionaire dude that like the owner they want, they probably make sure. Oh, they probably pay his taxes for him.
American Flag Football League this Sunday, the Big Three. Two Sundays from
23rd.
Now. You're busy, man. I appreciate you taking some time hopping
man,
in.
Thanks for having me again, bro.
Always.
Appreciate
anytime.
It.
You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Be good. Nate Robinson. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come back on the other side. We got to talk about this New England Patriots grievance that they filed against the Houston Texans, who were trying to be Patriots South. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Nate's always great. His dad, I didn't even know this until ACK. who is the a bastion of information, Richard Ackerman, our update anchor, said, "Yeah, I remember your dad said this to Nate." I'm like, "Your dad?" His dad played football. I don't know where he played in college, but so I asked Nate. I was like, "How far did he get?" He got I don't know if he got drafted, but he got a couple of tryouts in the league, stayed around for maybe a year or so, and then he ultimately, fell out of it. But it was Nate's first love. I mean, he was a really good basketball player, Nate. But he loves football. That's why he's playing in this arena or this flag football league. But also still playing basketball. He's got a great little gig going on right now. So to make the transition to this New England Patriots, Houston Texans situation, which when it first happened, I remember Samter maybe had this as an inbounds, out of bounds question. And maybe it was football at the 40s, and you wanted like my opinion on it. I'm like, I don't know why they would fire Brian Gain, the Houston Texans. I mean, guess he was okay. He was only there for a year. How you even judge that? But what happened is that the general manager for the Houston Texans had stepped down the year before, and Brian Gain was hired as his replacement. This was in 2018. But before he was hired, the New England Patriots denied the Houston Texans the opportunity to talk to Nick Caserio, who's the vice president of player personnel for the New England Patriots, Super Bowl champion. He's been great. When you listen to Bill Belichick, he waxes poetically about this guy. Like, we couldn't get it done without him. He scouts. He's in all these meetings. He works, very closely with our general manager and with me and our coaches. Nick Caserio is a valuable piece for the New England Patriots. And so Bill O'Brien, who's the head coach of the Houston Texans, obviously knows this. He used to be an assistant with the New England Patriots. And so what happened last week, and this is how this story kind of started to become interesting, is that Jack Easterby, who used to be I forget what his title was with the New England Patriots, but it was like character coach. I think it literally was character coach. He was the character coach for the New England Patriots. He just took a job with the Houston Texans as the VP of player development or something like that. And so all of a sudden, you now have the head coach and you have Jack Easterby, who is a head of player development or whatever the heck his title is, team development for the Houston Texans. And he had just left the New England Patriots. So he goes back for their ring ceremony, and he's seen talking to Nick Caserio. Well, the next day, Brian Gain gets fired, and Nick Caserio is the front runner to take the job, at least in a lot of people's minds. And New England Patriots are like, time out. That's not happening. And they file a grievance with the National Football League saying, you can't interfere or at least have conversations about poaching our talent without our permission, because they didn't ask, right? Jack Easterby, who's friends with Nick Caserio, I'm sure, didn't ask the Pats if they could have a conversation about potentially taking this GM job. But the GM job comes open, and the Houston Texans are now hot to trot for him, and the Patriots say, wait, we're going to file a grievance. So I just went down the rabbit hole a little bit with this yesterday, and what it turns out, the Pats are masters at manipulating and getting circumstances and situations advantageous to themselves. We've seen it over. We see it with draft picks. We see how they manage their draft, room, and guys on their boards. And, ultimately, despite winning championships, they end up having, like 12 draft picks. I think they literally had 12 draft picks this past season. And how does that happen for a team that's perpetually winning? They're not drafting in the top of the first round, but they got a ton of draft assets and a ton of draft capital. And so as I was digging through, like, what could happen here, because, I mean, he's the VP of player development. I know it's an important role, but you're going to fire a tampering charge, even if he's going to take an upward position with another team? That just sounds odd. And it got suggested, or at least it was suggested by one journalist, well, maybe the New England Patriots are just posturing here, so that they can threaten to file this grievance or go through with this grievance, which would likely result in a draft pick, a lost draft pick for the Houston Texans. They'll go to the Houston Texans and say, all right, we'll remove our grievance, and as long as you trade with us, right? So we'll give you Nick Caserio, and you give us a draft pick. And this isn't unprecedented. It sounds crazy, but it's not unprecedented because this happened, and I remember I was shocked and scratching my head and saying, what? When John Gruden, don't forget, John Gruden was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember this? You know, back in 2001, he was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there is a precedent behind this. And can you imagine if the vice president of player personnel for the New England Patriots gets traded to the Houston Texans, who were trying to be Patriot South, obviously, gets traded to the Houston Texans for a draft pick? How odd is that? But also, how brilliant is this for the New England Patriots? And so we look at their dynasty all the time. We dissect it. We talk about it. It's just Tom Brady. It's a great coach and a great quarterback. That's why they're so good. I mean, anybody could do this with Tom Brady under the helm. It's really so much more than that. It is manipulating the systems to put every circumstance advantageous to yourself. That's why the Patriots are great. Yes, they have great players. Yes, they have, you know, the Gronks of the world and the impact players that we've seen over the years. You can't discount that at all. You got to have players who are going to step up accountable and come up huge in big moments. But it's also all of this other stuff. The way that they operate is so much more than a lot of other teams in the National Football League. I just found that story odd, strange, but perfectly Patriots in an interesting way. Don't you agree? I think it's nuts that they're going to potentially trade. Now, it might not happen. They may just go through with the grievance, and the Houston Texans may just be docked a draft pick. But if they end up getting a pick out of this because Jack Easterby went to the ring ceremony, which he was invited to, by the way. He was invited to the ring ceremony by the New England Patriots, had a conversation with one of his boys, Nick Caserio, and now the Pats are going to get a draft pick out of this? Nuts. But that's the Pats. That's how they do things. That's how they stay on top. What, Samter?
If I'm the Texans, I mean, this ploy by the Patriots can't be legitimate. I mean, I guess they're trying to play a hard ball. They're bluffing the Patriots. They're like, all right, well, if you want to talk to our guy, because if they want to hire him, they have to get permission to talk
yes,
to him.
Yes, that's right.
And the Patriots are
didn't.
Not allowing him.
But they didn't, because Easterby talked to him.
In a professional manner, but they're at a party that he was invited to. What that?
Yeah, but then he emerges.
Hi, Nick, nice to see you again. And then walk. You don't invite guys to a party. And this is what
but
we
talked
about this.
But then he emerges as the four front runner for the just recently vacated job. I mean, it's not
this was my issue. Remember weeks ago, and I was like complaining that Brian Flores is going to go to the Patriots ring ceremony. Maybe the Patriots invite these guys on purpose, knowing that Brian Flores is going to go in there. He's going to talk to, I don't know, Dante Hightower.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, dude, we're putting some things together in Miami. Oh, hold on a second. There's tampering, Miami.
That is tampering.
Here's a fifth round pick.
Dude, that's tampering.
The Patriots are nonsense.
They're not. That's brilliant. That's what I'm saying.
It's brilliant, but it's also so, like, everything they do is so backhanded.
Oh, it's annoying.
So sick
it's
and tired
annoying
of it.
As hell, but it is brilliant.
Just give me a new champion. I'm just sick and tired of the Patriots
now. And it's interesting because we talk about dynasties and the end of the Golden State Warriors dynasties. Part of the reasons that we love dynasties and we crave them, even if you hate them, is because it's either going to be something you champion or something that's the villain. You either love them or you hate them, right? The New England Patriots are, unless you're a New England Patriots fan, you hate them, right? But you appreciate the way that they go about their business. Scott Brosius, former Yankee third baseman, is going to join us. He's got an interesting program that he is working with over the last couple of years. We'll chat with him on the other side of this break, but let's get an update from Richard Ackerman. Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to catch up with Scott Brosius here in a second. Just watching Rory right now. No, not Rory. This is Jordan Spieth. He just finished his round at the U.S. Open out at Pebble Beach. He had a lot of birdies today. 7 birdies. Not throwing out a ton of low scores, at the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods finished his round. I'm sure you heard in the update at even. Brooks Koepka is 4 under on the tournament. So we'll see if he's in line after the late starters, which are teeing off in just about 10 minutes or so, including Ricky Fowler, et cetera, can pull away from the field a little bit and not feel threatened from Brooks Koepka, who has had a fantastic 2 seasons on the PGA Tour. Back-to-back PGA Championships, back-to-back U.S. Opens. Now he's going for his 3rd U.S. Open in a row. So we'll keep an eye on the golf. I'm really interested to talk to Scott Brosius. There's this new league, and it's only for rising seniors, 80 of them, 80 of the top, most promising, it's positioned, baseball prospects from 27 states and Puerto Rico. They will play in this Prospect Development Pipeline League, which is down at IMG Academy. IMG seemingly owns everything. IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. They will also, well, this is really cool, play in the high school all-star game at Progressive Field this coming all-star weekend. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for a lot of these kids to make a showcase in front of some pretty deep group of scouts and coaches. Ryan Howard's going to be there. Chipper Jones is going to be there. Barry Larkin. I think Derek Jeter is going to be there as well. And Scott Brosius, who is currently the Senior Director of Player Development at USA Baseball, is a big part of this. It'll be there's lots of things to ask him about, especially the process that a lot of these kids go through. It's so different in baseball than it is in football and basketball and other sports where you kind of have to go to college. Hockey you don't, but you have to go to college in order to make that jump to the professional leagues. But sometimes these 18-year-old high school kids, if they get the right bonus or with the right team, they'll jump right into the major leagues, which is really the minor leagues. And so we'll ask him about how this all plays out. Also, he was on that three-peat series, the three-peat team with the New York Yankees back in the late 90s. So he knows what it's like to have a dynasty, and then ultimately have that dynasty come to an end. They won 3 in a row, and then they lost to the Diamondbacks in 2001. So lots to ask Scott Brosius when we finally get him on the phone. I mean, it's baseball was the one sport I never played. I never got into it. But mainly because I couldn't hit. I was fast, but I couldn't hit. But sometimes I wish I would have stuck with it because baseball is a career it's long and it's beautiful to be out on the field on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday afternoon. The aforementioned Scott Brosius joins us now on Tiki and Tierney. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Tiki, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am very well. You're the Senior Director of Player Development of USA Basketball. We all know 3-time World Series champion, baseball. I think I said basketball. I have basketball in my mind. 3-time World Series champion, World Series MVP back in 1998. But let's talk about this inaugural league, this Prospect Development Pipeline League. How did this come about?
Yeah, you know what? We're so excited about this year. This has kind of been years in the making, and this has been something that USA Baseball has, you know, kind of wanted to get to this place, you know, with a lot of help from Major League Baseball. You know, this year we've been able to do it, and so you know, the idea being to be able to, as players go through what we call our pipeline and get to this position as 18-year-olds and getting ready for college, getting ready for the draft, to give these guys the ability to come together for more than just a few days, but you know, basically 3 weeks where it's not just playing games and kind of showcasing talent, but actually skill development, character development. Yeah, things that we can learn on and off the field to help these guys progress in their careers.
You know, Scott, is this informative to them in the sense that it helps them decide if they are going to get drafted, whether or not to go to the minors or go to college? You know, because it's always a dicey decision. Sometimes it depends on where you were drafted and what your signing bonus is going to be, et cetera, et cetera. But does this help inform? Will this help inform them in some ways?
Yeah, I don't know in terms of specifically, are we going to help them to make their decisions? Obviously, families and everything like that ultimately do that for them. You know, we don't, for example, we don't push necessarily one decision, you know, side of the decision or the other, for, you know, going to college versus playing professional. That is a personal, you know, family decision that they end up making. But our goal is to help them just be prepared for the process, to understand kind of what they're going to be going through, the type of decisions they're going to be making, you know, off the field. And then along with that, just helping them be prepared so when that next step comes, they're better, more equipped, ready to take those next steps, you know, in their career.
Yeah, we're talking to Scott Brocious, Senior Director of Player Development of USA Baseball. He's also involved with this new league that's happening down in Bradenton, Florida at IMG Academy, the Prospect Development Pipeline League. You know, when you think back on your career, when you first got in it, because we just saw the MLB draft a little bit ago. We see some of these prospects coming up and, you know, starting to make an impact. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is one that comes to mind. When you first started, what was the hardest part about adjusting, first of all, to the minors? Because it's a different way of life than what you see on TV and dream of doing, obviously.
Yeah, it really is. It's very different. It's not glamorous. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours with no guarantee and no pay. You know, I think when I signed, you know, my first professional contract, went to rookie ball, I was making $700 a month. You know, the same thing in A ball and double A, you're making, you know, at the time back then, you know, again, about $1,000 to $1,200 a month maybe. And so you were only earning that during the season, that 5 or 6 months of the season. And so, you know, long days, you're at the park basically playing 7 days a week. In the minor leagues, you don't typically have the days off that you might have in the big league schedule. And so, you know, the player, you come into it, I think that's the biggest adjustment is you know, football, for example, you're gearing up for that one day a week where you're taking a lot of punishment. And
yeah,
baseball is a little bit more incremental in the sense that you're just out on the field every single day. And, you know, at one point, you know, one of my seasons, because of a couple rainouts and makeup dates, we played 52 straight days.
Wow.
And so when you think about kind of putting your body through that type of a just a routine and getting ready.
I think we lost him there. Yeah, he's talking about the routine that goes through. I think it's unappreciated, I think, in a lot of ways. Because it looks easy, right, to just go play baseball. It's not like you're getting pounded, as he was alluding to, with the NFL or even basketball with the jumping, the pounding, and everything else that goes on, hockey, et cetera. It looks like it's easy, but it's a grind. Get yourself mentally right every single day, 52 days in a row. You think about that. That's exhausting. It sounds exhausting. I mean, it's hard to wake up 52 days in a row and feel good, much less go to a ballpark and have to hit a baseball or take infield or whatever it may be. Yeah, we'll get him back up on the line here in a second because there's lots of things I want to ask him, including about the dynasty that he was a part of with the New York Yankees back in the late 2000s and how he you know thinks about dynasties in MLB. He's back now. Scott Brocious joins us here again. You know, you talk about that grind, but ultimately the grind becomes fulfilling. And it did for you. Obviously, you were the MVP of the World Series back in 1998, which was the first of three for that New York Yankees. Take yourself back or take us back to that three-peat and the dynastic feel of it, because we're talking about dynasties today because the Warriors one feels like it's coming to an end. Do you realize it as it's going on, the special nature of a specific team that is so dominant year over year?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question because I think when you're in the middle of it, you talk about the grind and you know, how you just learn to really kind of go about it every day. And that's ultimately what it's all about. That's what you play for is at the end of the year when you're on that dog pile and jumping around celebrating. You don't feel that grind anymore. It feels really good, and it feels really special, you know. And I think when you're going through it, at least for me, I guess I can't speak for everybody, but I think when we're going through it, you realize it's hard. And after the first one, you enjoy it so much. But then the second one, not only do you enjoy it, but you appreciate it more because you realize how hard it is to get back there and do that again. And then the same thing goes for the third time. You just appreciate, again, your off seasons are shorter. They're you know, just more toll on the body. But I think when you're in the middle of it, you don't realize quite how special it is until time has passed a little bit and you realize, wow, look at that. Look what we did. And,
yeah.
Look what that team was able to accomplish. I think it starts to mean a little bit more as time passes because you're just in the middle of it and working just to keep playing at the time.
Yeah, no, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of days here because you think about the dynasties in all sports. I mean, maybe except for the Chicago Bulls, for whatever reason, maybe because Jordan was so likable, dynasties, including the Yankees, start out as, man, that's a great story. Man, I love them. That's awesome. I'm happy for them. And then eventually you become like the villain, right? Stop winning so much. How much does that wear on a team? And do you guys feel it?
Yeah, I think there's no question. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so difficult to repeat is the number of things, is obviously the length of your season. And if you want to be there, but you're playing another month to a month and mm-hmm. a half, than other teams are. And the media attention and all the other attention that surrounds it, it just kind of pulls you a little bit in all directions. And you're right, it's funny. You go out there, and in the first year or so, we set a record for a number of wins in a season, and we're able to finish it off with the World Series. And a lot of people felt really good about that. But then after the second year and the third year, all of a sudden they're booing it because they want somebody else to come in there. So, anyway, it's. I think it's all part of it. That's what you live for is to be in those positions, and you'll take everything that comes with it.
No, you absolutely will. Talking to Scott Brosius here, former New York Yankees third baseman, World Series MVP, 3-time World Series champion, and now he's involved with the inaugural Prospect Development Pipeline League. Before I let you go, there's a bunch of names that are going to be down here. Harold Reynolds is one. Andy Pettit will also be one of the coaches. I think Jeter and Ryan Howard and Barry Larkin are going to be around. How'd you get all these guys wrapped into it, and what are they going to be, I guess, providing for these kids who are going to be sitting, obviously, slack-jawed when they see these guys? But what are you expecting from the former stars, the former players that you were your peers in your playing day?
Yeah, I think what was so cool about this was, when we started talking to guys about what we were doing and the idea of getting with these guys, with these prospects, and actually developing them and teaching the game and sharing experiences and stuff like that, pretty much every single guy that I talked to said, yes, I'm in and I want to be a part of it, because we all recognize how important certain people, were in our careers, that guy that kind of took us under our wings, or that guy, that one coach or something that gave us that one little thing that helped us out. And so we realized that we can't go through this alone. We got to where we were because we had special people in our lives. And I think all the guys said yes to this. They were excited about it because they understood kind of what this was, and it was about helping a group of guys to, again, just better themselves as men and better themselves as players on the field. It wasn't really hard. We didn't have to do a lot of twists and arms to get guys to come out here to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And it's also somewhat of a competition for these 80 players that are going to be in the PDP League, because the top 40 will head to Cleveland for the high school All-Star game at Progressive Field during MLB's All-Star Week. That's awesome. Scott, good luck with this. It sounds like it's going to be fun for both the kids and for you all, who are the grown-up kids, reliving your childhood. So good luck with it, and I appreciate you hopping on with us for a little bit.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. We're excited about it. Day one on the field today, so having a great time with you.
Nice.
Guys. I appreciate it.
Enjoy it. Be good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Scott Brosius, former Yankee, third baseman, World Series MVP. He accomplished a lot, had a great season. Was a Seattle Mariners third base coach for a while, so he's in the majors, and it's interesting. In MLBs, you become a star like that. You win some championships. The game's just with you for the rest of your life, and so it's good to see him and some of these other players giving back to this up-and-coming generation. On the other side of our 5 o'clock hour here, Kawhi did something very interesting during the regular season, which KD didn't do. Kawhi's hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy, and KD is trying to figure out how to come back quickly from an Achilles injury. We'll discuss it on the other side. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.